brought to you by Bank of Ireland, helping businesses grow.
Now, today, the global travel retail business is a firm fixture at airports right across the world. But did you know that the very first duty-free shop was established by an Irishman in County Clare? Brian O'Connell is a former director of Shannon Development, a former chairman of Shannon Heritage, and author of Brendan O'Regan, Irish Innovator, Visionary and Peacemaker. He joins me now. Good morning, Brian. How are you? Good
morning, Bobby.
Now, maybe you might just remind our listeners of the story of the late, great Brendan O'Regan. He was an innovator at many levels, but just maybe something a bit about his background, his early life.
Brendan was born in Six Mile Bridge. His father, before him, was quite entrepreneurial as well. He was somebody who took a leadership role in public life. He was chairman of Clare County Council. He ran for the Dáil unsuccessfully against De Valera in 1923. And he was in a variety of different businesses. His most prominent business was obviously as a hotelier. He owned the Old Ground Hotel, but he acquired that by accident.
Right.
He had managed to get a franchise for Fiat cars for County Clare, but the Fiat people wouldn't let him do it in a little place like Six Mile Bridge. He had to go to the capital. So he bought the ruins of the shut-down Old Ground Hotel, which had a good site for a garage, and then he stumbled into the hotel business. He saw the opportunity there.
And he or his family leased the Falls Hotel in Enniskillen. Am I right in saying that?
His father leased it just before the war, and called Brendan back from London, where he was finishing his hotel training in the Carlton Hotel.
Okay, so a trained hotelier. He ended up working out then in the... what do they call it? Not an airport in Foynes.
He got
flying ships air terminal in Foynes.
He was headhunted by Tim O'Driscoll, who later was chief executive when he was chairman of Port Fáilte. So Tim O'Driscoll, on behalf of the Department of Industry and Commerce under Sean Lamass, headhunted him to set up a very high standard restaurant because the department decided they should run the restaurant instead of BOAC, British Overseas Air Corporation. During the war, it was inappropriate that with the American Airlines particularly starting up the flying boats in 1942, that the restaurant there with the very high profile people that came through Foynes should be seen to be run by a British company. De Valera had written a note saying that it was inappropriate, so he was headhunted to run that restaurant as a showplace for Ireland.
And to talk about that airport terminal, the flying boat terminal, 100,000 passengers went through there in 1946. Quite staggering when you think about it.
Yes, it was the main, during the war, transatlantic flights by land planes was something that wasn't happening commercially. The only way commercially to cross the Atlantic was on a flying boat. But during the war, the US Air Force developed greater knowledge, built a lot of bigger planes, and they were flying troops mostly in land planes. They were very uncomfortable land planes, and after the war, of course, they handed these planes over to the American Airlines to give them a head start. People thought that the flying boats would continue for a long time, but they didn't.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about then, I suppose, the major achievements of Brendan O'Regan. If we talk about Shannon Airport in 1952, we had the establishment of the hotel school, where my own father, I think, was in the first class that came out of there. I think that might have been in early 50s anyway.
Your father actually receives honourable mention of the book.
Because there you go.
I interviewed his former teacher, Noel Duff. And Noel Duff, in the very first class, which was in 1951, Noel Duff, had been interviewed, said there was one particular young man who stood out. And if I can quote Duff, he said this young guy, Bobby Kerr, who was from Kilkee, Clareman. So he said, Bobby would put his hand up and say, Mr. Duff, how are we going to get jobs? There's so many of us here and we'll never get jobs. And Duff himself was only 22 years of age. And he said, well, I was kicking to touch. And I said, well, Bobby, I know you anyway, and you're an extrovert and you'll have no problem getting a job. And I can tell you that tourism will grow and develop. And you've just to think of what Mr. O'Regan has done. I mean, we'll train you to be professional managers and people will employ you as professional managers. And there'll be no half measures or shabby standards. And tourism will grow and there'll be hotels built that you haven't dreamt of.
There you There you go, and how right they were.
How right they were. Yeah. Within a very few years, I mentioned this, within a very few years, your father managed the Old Ground Hotel.
That's right. My sister Suzanne also worked there.
Okay.
Yeah, and...
And within 3 years of that, or 4 years of that, he was managing Jury's Hotel in Dublin.
Oh, I tell you, if he could only see us now talking about him. Well, thank you for mentioning him. It's, he was very proud of Shannon Hotel School and his association with it. And you know, it's still a leader in its field today. But let's go back to Brendan O'Regan, because the establishment of the duty-free, I suppose, commercially was a huge success.
Yes, it was a most unusual success in that O'Regan's inspiration for an awful lot of what he achieved in tourism and later in industrial development, specifically initially in tourism, was he went as one of a party of four in 1950 to the United States as part of the Marshall Aid Program. And they spent 7 weeks there, and they were being trained, they were being brought to different hotel schools, different hotels, they were meeting top hoteliers. Conrad Hilton was one of the hoteliers they met. And they, he came back on the boat. The other three guys flew back, but he decided to come back on the SS America because he had seen so much and he wanted to write down everything he had seen and everything he had observed. And while on that trip, while he was trying to get his head around everything, he suddenly noticed there was an awful lot of drinking and smoking going on, because there was duty-free liquor, because it was on the high seas, and duty-free tobacco. And he basically said to himself, wait now, we're competing at the airport. The airport is really designed for transatlantic travel, so we're competing with the SS America. So why can't we have duty-free?
Yeah.
Now, Lamass had brought in an act in 1947, the Free Airport Act, which would have allowed industries to set up and bring in goods and process them and re-export them tax-free. It created the free zone in 1947, but it hadn't really achieved anything. No industries had come in, no warehouses had set up, and nobody had thought of the idea of selling duty-free. So the government of the day, the coalition government under Johnny Costello, were clearly defensive as to why nothing had happened. And he basically personally made it a crusade as soon as he landed back that he was going to sell this idea that if we sold dutiable goods such as drink and tobacco at and watches and perfumes tax-free, we could attract a lot of people to come through the airport.
Yeah, amazing. And am I right in saying that Chuck Feeney, who went on to set up the world's biggest duty-free operation, he was involved with Brendan O'Regan, was he not?
At a very early stage.
Yeah.
Chuck Feeney, I quote in the book from correspondence that hadn't been revealed before, because a lot of people think that Chuck Feeney and Brendan would have got together in the 1980s, but when Chuck started supporting universities in Ireland. But their relationship goes back to the very early 60s.
Yeah.
And Chuck himself has spoken about how he, when he had a duty-free operation that he had bought a franchise for in Hawaii, to see how you could make money out of this, he came to Shannon to talk to Brendan O'Regan.
Wow. And what about things then like the Shannon stopover and all those kind of, the Shannon free zone? So it almost became a sort of an independent republic in lots of ways, that it was its own, I suppose, governor, was it not?
One of the attractions of it was that a lot of the decision making was made locally, that obviously Lamass had set up a special semi-state company, Shannon Free Airport Development Company, purely to handle things in Shannon. And he also granted, under pressure from O'Regan, probably O'Regan's biggest long-term contribution to this country today is being creating the first industrial estate in Shannon.
Yeah, and a new town, of course, that went with that.
Yeah, the new town came later because came within maybe 10 years of that, because effectively a lot of the industrialists said is being creating the first industrial estate in Shannon.
Yeah. And a new town, of course, that went with that.
Yeah, the new town came later because came within maybe 10 years of that, because effectively a lot of the industrialists said, look, we've nowhere for our senior workers. We want our workers, some of our senior people particularly, to be able to live near the estate. And the estate was a very relatively remote period at that time, in that there wasn't good bus services. There was no ways of the people to get there. A lot of people had to cycle to work. Which was, we're talking about the early 60s.
Yeah.
So,
Am I right in saying then that out of that, another one of the things that Brendan O'Regan was over then, if you talk about the Shannon Newtown, the industrial estate, his early contribution to the peace process, because if I'm not mistaken, Shannon was very much populated by people, a lot of people who had been rehoused from Northern Ireland.
Yeah, quite a number of refugees from the disturbances in the north came down and were housed in Shannon. They were housed in Shannon because they had done a lot of development and some of the houses were empty. So there was a perfect fit. And there was a significant community of people from the north in Shannon. And many of them and their families are still there today.
Amazing. And I suppose just finally then, Brian, you know, we've covered, the commercial. What was he like as a person, Brendan O'Regan? Like, a guy who achieved so much, was he somebody who achieved things by coercing others, or was he quite a dogmatic character?
No, he seems, I would have known him personally, obviously. I went into business with an in-law of his 40 years ago in Foynes, and I would have met him at that time, and then I would have met him. He was very charming. People who worked for him, he had a wonderful ability to draw people into his agenda and into his mission. He was very missionary, he was very focused.
Yeah.
He was an ideal entrepreneur. He had most of the characteristics that you'd see, as you'd know yourself, in textbooks.
Yeah.
As to the characteristic of an entrepreneur, it's extraordinary his ability to have most of these characteristics. So a lot of the people who worked for him, obviously we interviewed over 90 people for the book, a lot of whom had worked with him. And they all spoke very positively about him, about his ability to handle people. He'd a great way of going to the lowest person or the most menial job and getting their ideas on things.
Great. What a great legacy. So